listening to the EVs for Everyone podcast. My name is Elena Ciccatelli, an award-winning automotive executive, and I'm so excited to introduce you to some of the most dynamic thought leaders the EV economy has to offer. Listen in on honest conversations I have with the leading electric vehicle experts and uncover critical insights that will help you jump ahead and stay there. The electrification race is officially on, and these conversations have never been more important. So whether you're an automotive executive or just an EV enthusiast, this is the podcast for you. Let's get started. Well, well, well. Look who we have here. We've got Michael Wood, General Manager at Checkered Flag, Jaguar Land Rover, and Volkswagen in Virginia Beach. Hey. Try and say that on a Monday. How are you? How are you feeling this afternoon, Michael?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it. Good to see you both.
Yes, of course. And we have Savannah Sims, of course.
Thank you so much for having me. Michael Wood is someone from the background I've admired deeply. So I'm so excited to be here with both of you.
Well, it's going to be a fun conversation because guess what? We're talking about Volkswagen. We're going to narrow the scope of this conversation because it can kind of go in many different directions. We're talking about Volkswagen and we're talking about some of the ID4s that you put in Loaner Fleet, which I think is a brilliant idea. But before we get into all of your brilliant ideas, because I know you have like a million of them, I want to talk about your background. I want to talk a little bit more about what it took to get to where you are today.
I'll tell you what, I need a dose of you guys every Monday because the positivity and the reinforcement right now, I'm just feeling like I can go take on the world with everything you guys are saying. But thank
you so
much.
Well, you can. You can do it. What's stopping you, Michael Wood? Let's go.
Nothing at all. You're absolutely right. Now, I've had a great, run in the automotive industry. Prior to it, I was doing orthopedic surgical sales in New York City. Didn't really love living in Manhattan, so I came back home to Virginia Beach and got into the auto industry because one of my best friends was the general sales manager at a store, and he told me to come try it out. And, quite candidly, I didn't really think the auto industry was something for me. But, hey, I kind of admired the life that he was living, so I went and gave it a shot. And first month, I think I sold like 12 or 15 cars and saw the biggest paycheck I'd ever seen in my life. And I was hooked. I was in. So I've been fortunate with Checkered Flag. We're an organization that believes in developing their own and growing from within. So I've been able to move up from sales associate to finance manager to finance director to sales manager to general sales manager and now a multi-platform GM. And I'm just really fortunate to have an organization that has invested as much money as they have in me to help me get me to where I am today.
As the Al Pacino quote goes, once they pull me in, I can't get back out. Wait, I messed the quote. It was a Godfather quote, and I totally messed it up, and I'm Italian, so how did that even happen? I don't know. But you know the quote that I'm talking about.
I do.
Once you get a taste of automotive and all the good stuff that's happening here in this ecosystem, you're like, well, I'm here forever. So for our purposes today, for EVs for Everyone, we're talking about Volkswagen. So I'm going to just tee it up for Savannah. I know we had a great call last week and Savannah had some really key questions. So Savannah, take it away. Over to you, my friend.
Michael Wood and Checkered Flag have done what we all thought was a great idea and we've all failed to do. And so getting to know a little bit more about what you've done to help not only promote the sales, but promote the ownership and introduce customers to EVs in a unique way in the service department. I kind of just want to hear, how have you done that successfully? Because we've all thought to do it. And either you've thought about it and you've never had, the confidence to follow that all the way through, or you've done it and then you're upside down in loaner inventory. So if you can tell us a little bit more about what that process looks like, and also how are you getting customers confident behind the wheel there?
Sure. Yeah. At the end of the day, it was a math equation for me. We had a growing day supply of ID4. And as everybody could see, the demand was kind of slipping when it came to EVs. But I really felt that there was an opportunity for us to take EVs head on instead of like what other dealerships are doing and waiting for whatever magical thing's going to occur where EVs just go away. I felt, what's great about the dealer franchise model is that we've technically we've historically taken everything the manufacturers have given us and we just sell it. But for some reason with EVs, we put up this barrier to it. And I think the barrier comes from us being willing to understand the technology, because if we don't understand it, how in the heck can we tell the customers about it? So it really came down to, I said, hey, how can I get people into an electric car without them having to spend a dime? And then I looked at my loaner fleet. And I said, hey, this is an opportunity to where I've got 600 people a month plus that are coming in to service their vehicle, and I can put them behind the wheel for a day or two of an electric vehicle without really any true range anxiety or anything like that. We're going to give it to them fully charged. We added a couple additional level two chargers to the facility to make sure that we could come through on that promise. But more importantly, before we put the fleet out to any customers, we had every single employee in the organization take an ID4 for a week.
Boom.
And what was really unique about that is that we didn't allow them to charge the vehicle at the dealership. Because what I wanted them to understand is exactly what a customer who would be in that vehicle for 4 or 5 days would experience. With a 250-mile range, you're going to need to recharge, and you're going to need to be able to speak to that customer about what that experience is like, where to go. At Virginia Beach Town Center, there's a couple chargers there. You know, at Whole Foods, there's a level two charger there. And more importantly, it's being familiar with the vehicle. I mean, quite candidly, I took one for a week, and it took me 3 days to figure out how to use the radio. That's something we need to be able to explain to the customer, because that would have been a bad CSI score for me if I was actually that customer. And, you know, so it was just a really, really cool experience for everybody to be able to get out there, feel the vehicles, and they really have rallied behind it. Now, candidly, it has not led to additional ID4 sales yet. But what I do believe is that we're laying the groundwork to better educate our staff so that as Volkswagen continues to bring out more beautiful electric vehicles like the forthcoming ID Buzz and ID 7, that we're prepared to talk to those conversations or have those conversations with the customers to ease them into those purchases and make this just seem normal.
You go into a dealership and someone will be moaning and groaning about an EV that's like been sitting for 120 days. And you're like, have you driven the car? And it's not just driving it to go, you know, pick up lunch on your lunch break, but living in it and living that lifestyle. Because like you said, you haven't increased the ID4 sales yet, but do they have a positive attitude about the EVs you already have or what's on the way? And that's really what we've all been talking about so much, is changing the attitude and the outlook of what we currently have. And I think that's huge. I get so excited. When I heard you talk about the charging in the wild part and not charging at the dealership, I also view that as a great opportunity to get to know other EV drivers. Have you heard any stories of your team kind of from handing out business cards to making relationships at the chargers, acquiring any cars at those chargers?
Not from the staff that took these vehicles, but I did have a product specialist that was, you know, he drives an ID4 and he is an avid EV enthusiast. And I would hear those kinds of stories from him because he lived that life. You know, he's out there in the wild, he's charging his car, he's enthusiastic about EV. And, you know, we sold more EVs when he was around. And that kind of almost validated my thought process, was if I can just get everybody to be a fraction of what Jay is when it comes to the love of EV, then we're just going to be in a better place, period. If all of a sudden all the Apple geniuses are like, oh my gosh, Face ID is terrible.
Right.
We need to have the thumb ID.
Yeah.
It's probably time to get Android. Well, then Apple's going to go bankrupt. But it's not the case. They embrace the changes in technology and really like get behind it. And that's what I'm looking for my staff. Like, I get it. It's a new technology. It's different than what we're used to. Just get on board. It isn't going anywhere. Like, it's not going away. And the more you alienate EVs, well, then that's just a bigger portion of the portfolio that you're alienating for yourself. And inevitably, that product specialist is going to end up leaving us because they don't buy into everything that we're selling. And it just takes full buy-in, and it has to start from the top. It can't be a product specialist that just decides to do it. Everybody has to have this mentality, and that's not easy, that's for sure.
I was going to say, you have such a gift for leading your team in this way, and I have to give you major props for doing so, because it's not easy. Like, kudos to you for just like navigating the ship. Is that a good analogy? My analogies are off today. I don't. Michael came in with a better analogy.
Monday. No, I think that you're spot on, and I know the OEMs all came out with these beautiful programs, right? And it was GM, we're going to connect with every community, get this many chargers installed. Ford had their big program. And to your point, Elena, all the headlines, right? There's so much negativity. Someone today screenshotted a large media conglomerate in the automotive space. And it was every single headline was EV and every single one of them was negative. And I was like, well, these other three really positive things happened this week. Like, why aren't we talking about it? So I commend you, because I know that your efforts are going beyond your store. And I think the other piece of it is about time. So our sales force right now has really been focused on taking orders, right? And a customer that comes in, they're already interested in an EV. Great. We'll sell you an ID4. But what about your customers that are in ICE vehicles right now? What are you doing from the service standpoint to help introduce and get people more comfortable over time? And how are you getting them, like you said, the radio, getting them up to speed? And so they are comfortable with this temporary, and we talk about the loaner program, but how do you introduce them to this?
So it's a great question. And we pride ourselves on our customer service indices. You know, when it comes to the Volkswagen store, you know, our sales manager and our FOMs from VW constantly use us as a barometer for the rest of the marketplace, because we're very customer centric in everything that we do. So thanks. So one of the things that we were able to use, that we use that to our benefit, I guess I should say, to rally the staff behind the fact that we did not want CSI to slip. And what that means is that for each individual that we're putting into one of these ID4s, specifically that is used to driving an ICE vehicle, well, when you're taking them out there to put them in a vehicle, keyword taking them out there, not just handing them a key, you need to go over the vehicle. You need to go over it for a couple minutes, right? You know, make sure they have a basic understanding. And then most importantly, before they leave, make sure that they've opted into the text communication and let them know that it's okay to reach out to us. You're going to have questions about the vehicle. Let's have some fun with it. And I believe that if you frame it that way, as opposed to, here's your keys, Mr. Smith, go ahead and have some fun. We'll see when you get back. Good luck charging that thing. Like, yeah, that's going to be a negative experience. But if you take the time and you frame it the proper way, then you're going to win every single time. And so fortunately, my staff is so keen, on getting good CSI that they rallied behind that thought process and have done a great job. We miss the mark every now and then. You know, we use digital airstrike to survey every single customer outside of the manufacturer survey. And I'm specifically looking for anything related to the loaner cars. Has there been any kind of complaints? Is there any kind of, you know, range issues, et cetera? And knock on wood, so far, we haven't had those complaints. So it's really a testament to the staff. They're doing what's necessary to make sure that the customers are comfortable. And to that end, we also maintained 6 additional ICE loaners for that one customer that's just, you know, I will not drive a 94. No problem. We have a nice vehicle for you. And so, you know, we're trying to make sure that we're letting the customer ease in as quickly as they would want to ease in, with just a little push, just a gentle little nudge.
So I have a quick question. So is there ever a conversation with your product specialists about use case for the vehicle? So for example, you take me, for example, I have my vehicle in for service. Product specialist like, hey, Elena, I got this ID4 for you. Is there ever a conversation about like, hey, what's kind of like your driving habit?
It's funny because I don't really think I was aware of that until I put my wife into a plug-in hybrid electric vehicle.
Oh, and then I need to hear this story. Okay.
Well, so like, I just don't think I really was aware of the statistics around the average driver, you know, given that I think it's somewhere between 83% to 87% of customers drive less than 50 miles per day. And so if you really can help them, and if your Northern Star is reducing the customer's effort to transact in every possible way, then that means that if you're getting an ID4 customer or an EV customer, then part of that conversation needs to be, how can we help you get a level 2 charger at home? Because once we can help you get a level 2 charger at home, range anxiety is gone. You know, it's funny, you know, my wife's car gets about 50 miles in EV mode. And since I got the level 2 charger installed, she like plays a game. You know, when she gets home, she'll text me and she'll be like, I have 27% battery left. And so, you know, for somebody who, like my wife, was very much against EV technology, the PHEV really turned her around. But I think the real story there was, it wasn't the PHEV, it was the availability of the level 2 charger at home. So we need to make sure, to your point, that we're having those conversations. Hey, Mr. and Mrs. Smith, how often do you drive? How many miles or how far is it to and from work? Do you have a charger at work? You know, can we help you? We're going to give you a level 2 charger. Do you mind if we give you a connection with this electrician locally who can help install and get you that level 2 plug-in that you would need? And by the way, did you even know that a level 2 plug-in is basically just a dryer plug-in? Like, you know, it's just those kinds of conversations that kind of take something that to most customers feels incredibly complex and breaking it down to the, you know, reducing it to the ridiculous, if you will. Because I didn't know that before I started getting into this. I didn't know the level 2 charger was basically just a dryer plug. that makes it less scary to me. And I think it makes it less scary to most customers.
Absolutely. And I love that PHEV story as well. It is kind of like an arcade game. You're like, ooh, can I see if I can get this much? And then I'm like, just like rolling up to the stoplight. You know what I mean? Like, like, that's an extreme example.
My dad put me in a Ford Focus in high school. So I had a leash, right? And so he gets in the car and he blasts the air conditioning, plugs his phone in, hangs out the window to be funny. He's like, I want to limit your range here so you stay home for dinner tonight. And I was like, man, this thing takes 3 days to charge. This is back when the range was like 30, 40 miles, you know. You had to stop twice to charge before you even take it to the dealership for service. But I think another question I have is the OEM's efforts and the execution on what their initial, specifically around home charging. The OEM had these plans, and there were, you know, a lot of companies out there that were doing home charging through the OEM.
My advice would be is, you know, the manufacturers, I think, are trying to do what they can to help us when it comes to bridging that gap of having level two charging capabilities at home. But I think they're kind of missing the mark, whether it's Volkswagen by us having to charge an additional increase in money factor on the lease for the customer to have that installation, or whether it's Hyundai who's giving you quote unquote $1,500, but then you have to use a list of approved electricians who happen to typically be significantly more expensive. You know, case in point, the electrician I used, he charged me, I'll say it, he charged me $625 to install my level two charger. And one of my associates here at Land Rover, he bought an Ioniq 6, and the approved vendor that he had to use charged $1,500. And isn't that interesting? That's the amount of money that Hyundai is giving. So it's a little frustrating because I feel like that if the manufacturers would partner with us a little bit more, we could better use their funds. You know, it doesn't have to cost Hyundai $1,500 for that install. I can help you get it done for $750. And so, you know, it was great that we were able to partner with a local electrician who's got a great track record, who we can recommend. But at the end of the day, it really is a case-by-case situation because, you know, you might have that one client that's in a house that was built in the 1950s, or you have that client that's living in a house that was built 3 years ago. Those are two different conversations when it comes to installation. But I do believe that it is part of the job of the dealer franchise to help have that conversation. There are many reasons why the adoption curve is difficult to go up when it comes to selling more cars and like that. We don't need to be another one. We need to be the ones that are helping make the adoption easy. And I feel that there are far too many dealers out there that are just saying, listen to all the headlines, to Savannah's point. This is why we don't need to get behind it. Well, if you don't get behind it now, then you're going to be behind later. So, you know, get in front of this, take the time to invest in your staff. And maybe it doesn't reap reward today, but it will in the future because the cars are coming. Like, they've spent the money. The R&D's been done. Some of these things have been built. Don't be a dinosaur.
Exactly. Well, I love the fact that you're playing the long game, Michael, because to your point, it's overwhelming in the short term, but I love your approach. I love what you're doing. I love your leadership. This is a giant love fest here.
I'm so happy we recorded this on a Monday because what a great way to start the week. And Michael, you know, saying that we have, you know, the OEMs, we can get things done for less. Car dealers are entrepreneurs. We have overcome so many challenges in this industry. This one is not any different and it's not any more difficult. You just have to be creative in the execution and the planning. And I think that you're a prime example of what we can do. And we're already partnered. Do you have an electrician that comes and fixes the lights at your dealership? I guarantee they either do it or they have someone that does. Everything from getting your staff excited to getting your future EV customers excited and comfortable, just opening their minds. Everything you've done has been phenomenal. And I'm excited to see, you know, how other dealerships can hear from this. And part of me wonders, are the rest of the groups jealous of what you're doing at Volkswagen? And what are they doing? Like, you know, the other stores in your group, how is that going?
I think that often, you know, I was fortunate. I had a really good mentor for like the last 5 or 6 years up until he retired. He was our former vice president, Pete Lively. And he always had this mindset that if you're not green and growing, you're, you know, ripe and rotting. And so I just kind of feel that if I'm not always constantly looking for that next best idea, then my competitor is going to get it. And if they get it, then now they have a leg up on me. So to answer your question, I think that I get a lot of, a lot of confusion from people that aren't in that same mindset. So if it, whether it's within my own organization or there are my competitors, if they don't have that mindset of trying to constantly grow, then what I'm doing to them may look really, really stupid. You know, it may make them think that, like, what is this guy doing? He's going to fail. He's going to get fired. But in my mind, I see the future, and I see that I'm taking money that would have been holding cost and converting it into loaner write down that's going to create a future used car for me that if I keep in for a certain amount of time, that'll be qualified for the $4,000 used EV tax credit. I want to play chess, not checkers. So to those that look at me that are playing checkers, have your laughs now. I'm going to get the last laugh, I feel.
Exactly. Right. Exactly. And by the way, to that, never, ever dim your light. That's, I mean, I live by that. Like, you've already raised the bar, obviously. So do not dim your light. There is some electric pun in there somewhere, but it's Monday, so my puns are off today. Michael, how can people go and connect with you? I would love everyone to become a super fan of Michael, because you know that we already are, so.
I appreciate that. I mean, I'm on LinkedIn, so you can get and follow me on there. I guess that's probably the best way. That's where I keep most of my work-related type stuff. If you follow me on Instagram, you're just going to see food and wine, so I don't think you want to do that.
Hey, I'm over the food. Yeah, I'm ready for the food and wine discussion.
Bring it on.
Well, we're bringing the food and wine, and we're going to crash one of your Saturday EV trainings when you all switch.
Let's do it.
Between the stores. Get ready.
Yeah.
That would be so fun. Michael, thank you for your time. Savannah, thank you for co-hosting. I love this episode.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Thank you so much for listening to the EVs for Everyone podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, go ahead and subscribe to the show and leave a 5-star review with a comment. We read every single comment, so thank you in advance. If you have an idea for an upcoming episode or you would like to be a guest on the show, go to evs4everyone.com/contact. That's evs4everyone.com/contact. Until next time, keep charging forward. Word.